The train just went by outside my window, not right outside the window, but it was loud enough that you could hear it. So if you can hear it again, we'll
You
just
have a train
pretend.
nearby?
I have no, not really. Can
Okay.
you hear that?
Or some kind of beeping.
Yeah.
Didn't sound like a train.
Sounds it's a
Sounds like a
train.
train horn.
We can pretend I'm on a choo-choo. Choo-choo.
202.
202.
Episode 202 of Brothers in 3Z. Brother. You ready? Five, four, three.
Welcome to the Brothers in 3Z, the Sports Bar Talk podcast. Sports talk like you and your buddies talk. Eating wings, having beer, and a sports bar. Email the Brothers in 3Z at brothersin3z@yahoo.com. Visit their site at brothersin3-z.com. Now put on your iPod, pull up a virtual bar stool, because you're now sitting with Adam, Trent, and Ryan, the Brothers in 3Z.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome once again to an episode of Brothers in 3Z, your sports bar talk podcast. I am your host, Trent. I'm here with my brothers, Ryan and Adam, and we're going to talk a little bit about sports like you would sitting at your bar, the one that you own, eating chicken wings, drinking beer.
Never invite us to.
I know. Come on, Streets. What's up with that? Because we want a free bar tab, damn it. Been buying the next round for 202 episodes. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about the NBA. The NBA playoffs are going on right now, and you know it's down to the conference finals with the Celtics in Orlando and the Lakers and Suns. And I just, you know, once upon a time, a couple years ago, you know, 5 years ago, maybe 10, I would sit there and I'd be able to watch a whole entire NBA basketball game. And I don't know if things have just changed or what, but you know. I don't know if I can sit through a whole game. I'm watching these players. They're running up and down the court. You know, yesterday or last night, I watched the last quarter, I think, and it's just down the court, pass, drive, or shoot. And there's no offensive rebounding whatsoever to be had that I can see. Nothing substantial. And then it's down the court, you know, maybe one pass, maybe two, then a shot. I mean, I know the shot clock's only 24 seconds, but it doesn't seem like there's any real offense being run. There's certainly not much defense being played, and it seems boring to me. There's no excitement there for me. I mean, are you guys feeling this? Are you watching the NBA playoffs, or are you just like, eh, we don't care either?
I kind of agree. You know, and you have tweeted about, you know, the defensive illegal defense, which is. You know, or whatever they happen to call it. I don't know.
Defensive 3 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, like I think you had said, you know, either play, you know, allow them to play zone or not allow them to play zone.
Right.
You know, either or. And I think one of the biggest factors, and I know, I mean, I guess how many teams, I guess we've added some teams, and it just seems like to me that the product is more watered down than it used to be. And maybe that's a combination of a couple of things, you know, more teams, more younger players that aren't developed. It just seems like the skills in general, you know, when you see some of the skills in a college basketball game as compared to, you know, the pro level, I'm not sure there's that big of a difference. You know, I mean, obviously there is some, I mean, there's some great players. I mean, Kobe and LeBron and others, but you know, if you take the averages, I don't think that the quality of the play is that different.
Well,
or that's substantially better.
I don't know. I mean, I can't tell because the players may be so good. I mean, if that were true, then more of these college players would succeed in the NBA, and a lot of them just kind of fall off by the wayside. Adam Morrison, who's crying, you know, at the end of the bench. But I mean, so I don't know if it's quality or if it's just. You know, these guys are so good that nobody can defend them, and, you know, 75% of their shots are going to go anyway.
Well, I mean, it's a couple of things, I think. One is that there's no storylines, really. Now that LeBron is out, there's no interest. Yeah, Kobe might win another championship or whatever, but you don't have any relationships with average with the average, or, you know, the majority of rosters of teams, and that goes back to the one and done, and players are here for a second and gone. You know, if you were to tell me the Suns starting five, could you name, other than, you know, Steve Nash or whoever, Santa Clara, I think, but you could, you know, could you name the colleges? Do you have any compelling stories? Is there any reason to follow those guys in particular, which I think is what should be driving your sport, is the people and the storylines. The second part in this, you know, is that the game isn't attainable to the average fan. You know, I think, I don't know, growing up playing basketball was kind of fun because you could, you know, it seemed attainable what the guys did. And now it's just come down, jump shoot, pick and roll. Pick and roll, jump shoot, you know, and dunk and drive to the basket. And that's all it is. I think when you watch college basketball, there's more of the, you know.
There's more of a strategy, I think.
Yeah, there's more strategy. And you can, I think the average fan can relate to it more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't mean to say that, like, great, you know, basketball players aren't, you know, basketball players are great athletes, and I don't think people say, oh, they're so great, I could never do that. You know, I don't think they sit that, but it's just not, it's such a different sport, really, than college basketball, that's not unrecognizable, but not as familiar, I guess, as college basketball. So you got a couple of things as that disconnect there, that I have not watched an NBA game start to finish in I don't know how long.
Yeah.
And the only thing that would attract me to a game is a game seven.
That's good.
And
point.
Even something like that, you may not watch from
until the second half. Yeah, I'd probably tune in the second half, because as everybody jokes about, which I'm sure is true, is that you don't tune in until fourth quarter.
Yeah, which is exactly what I did last night.
Yeah, both teams kind of dick around for a while, and then, you know, you get started in the fourth quarter, because the game's going to be probably, you know, a 4-point game, or, you know, 6-point game, something where you might as well just start there, you know, just play a 12-minute game. And then
Yeah, the home team gets a 6-point lead. We'll start with 12 minutes on the clock and go.
Go, right.
Yeah, it's funny because I think you're right. I'm trying to attach myself to a Steve Nash storyline or a Grant Hill storyline, you know, so I can root for the Suns. Plus, you know, I always hate Kobe and his jutted out jaw and how angry he looks. He looks like a weasel.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are things I try to attach myself to. So I will tune in to watch the Suns and Lakers in the fourth quarter, just so I can, you know, see how that game is going to go. But I have no interest in just sitting down at the beginning, like, oh, I'm so excited for this game. You know, there's just not that excitement there for me right now.
Well, now that both series are 2-0, do you have any doubt that the Lakers and the Celtics won't be playing in the finals?
No.
No. Now, if it were hockey, and we've talked about this before, if it were 2-0, you go, well, they could come back from that.
Yeah.
But there's just no I don't think anybody sees a comeback in either of these teams, because I think they've separated themselves in the first two games. You go, whoa, there's no way Orlando could beat this. Dwight Howard is still the same guy that he was last year. Uh-huh. And you go, whoa, Suns were playing a little bit of defense, but they don't have enough. That's the same old Suns. You know, when it comes right down to it, they don't have enough defense to guard these guys. And if Lamar Odom shows up, and then you're in trouble. And, you know, the Suns might steal a game here or there, but in the end, I just don't think anybody doubts that the Lakers and Celtics are going to be playing for the national championship.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, going back to what you were talking about, Adam, I had no idea where Rajon and Rondo went to college.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to look it up the other day. I'm like, where did this guy come from? Because I don't have no recollection of him playing college basketball at all.
What was the answer?
Kentucky.
Oh, yeah?
I said that, yeah. I just said that.
Kentucky for a year.
I was taking a drink of my delicious Coke Zero, and I think I may have zoned out.
Yeah, no, I thought it was Coke Kentucky, Zero, although I don't remember him being there. I remember hearing that he's played at Kentucky.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had no idea, so.
Well, let's take a step away from the teams that are playing, and we were talking pre-show for Insiders Only about LeBron, and I know that we talked about this, you know, last podcast a little bit, and now the Cavs have completely blown themselves.
Whoa.
Well, yeah. Well, not in a good way, I guess. Yikes. So Ryan said in the pre-show that that Cleveland has blown their shot at keeping him, and I don't know where that's coming from. I know that, you know, he's now a free agent, and let the wooing begin. But why are you so sure that Cleveland's now out of the mix?
I'm not 100% sure of it. Maybe I'm falling victim to all this media jibber jabber talking about, you know, his best place to win, and, you know, what's going to give him the greatest opportunity to win a championship, and everybody points here and points there, and realistically, completely realistically, Cleveland would be his best chance, because and we've talked about this before, you know, they can clear room to get other players. It's not like they're, you know, that they don't have that kind of flexibility. So, they have the best chance of sitting down with LeBron and trying to figure out some sort of strategy for the future, and saying, you know, and if that means letting LeBron dictate who they go after and who they don't go after, I mean, I guess you kind of have to do that. But I will take one step back from this just a little bit and say that the player that I thought LeBron James was before, you know, these playoff series and things like that, he's not. You know, I thought he was on a path to be like a Michael Jordan, and I don't think he's on that path. I don't think he's, you know, going to attain that level of success. I think more, and this is going to pain you to hear this, Trent, but I think Kobe Bryant's more on that level than LeBron James is.
Oh yeah, you know, I
because
agree.
You
with
know
that.
What? Because. There is no way, you know, we all watch Michael Jordan play. There is no way Michael Jordan goes out and plays two playoff games like LeBron James did.
Yeah.
Never. You know, even when the Bulls were terrible, you know, Michael Jordan's putting up 64 against the Celtics with Bird, McHale, and Parrish and those guys and stuff like that. I mean, there's no way LeBron, you know, Michael Jordan would put up stinko games like that back-to-back and let his teammates, you know, just kind of be like, oh yeah, great, we're just happy to be here type of thing. So I just don't think he's going to have the same career arc as a Jordan. And I thought he might have. I remember back that playoff game when they played the Pistons and he scored, what, 25 straight points?
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember? And I think he hit the overtime shot or the game at the, you know, the shot at the buzzer. And, you know, I thought, okay, this is, you know, this may be leading to something great. But I just don't see the same –
no,
and, you know, desire, drive, whatever it happens to be in him that you see or saw in like a Michael Jordan and that you see in a Kobe Bryant.
Well, I think if there's a cockiness to Kobe and Michael Jordan, and they're, you know, they were both kind of dicks, and
they're,
you know,
jackasses. They're right. Both are jackasses.
Yeah, and LeBron legitimately seems like, and of course we don't know, he may have slept with 17 women and whatever, but he seems like a decent guy, and he seems just a little bit more laid back than those two guys. And yeah, I liked Jordan a little bit more than I like Kobe, but you know, I agree with that statement that they're kind of similar. I wonder if Cleveland can go find themselves another aging center. Is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar available?
A couple things going on here, but it all comes down. Well, first, let me tackle this. Even if Kobe wins six championships or whatever, I still don't think there's just something different about Jordan that I think, you know, that goes beyond number of titles won.
You know, I agree with
mean?
That. Yes.
Okay. So,
yes.
So we can move past that. And all these people, I mean, we don't know what Kobe wants or what LeBron wants. Best chance to win a championship? Who knows where that is? Best chance to get paid? Cleveland. You know, best chance to be a worldwide icon? New York, New Jersey, whatever. I mean, but nobody knows what he wants. And I just think, as far as like Cleveland's concerned, is that. He has to be great every night for them to win.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have – he does – and this is to his –
he doesn't have a Scottie Pippen.
No, but this is to his credit or his fault too. you know, Michael Jordan squeezed every ounce out of Scottie Pippen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he demanded a level out of these other guys around him. And LeBron's one of the guys, and I think that's like good, but he doesn't crack the whip on them. You know what I mean? He doesn't give them that glare like you should have passed the ball to me. And you know, just that's a little bit of difference. And now maybe he acquires that. He's only 25. Maybe he acquires that as he gets older or something like that kind of instinct or whatever. And maybe that's what you're talking about, that drive or fire that's missing. But I think that's the problem, is that he doesn't make anybody better. You talk about trying to put pieces around him, and you think that if you just get good pieces around him, then that'll lift everything else. Well, LeBron's so good that you get a lot of guys – you get LeBron and four other guys just standing out there on the court. and so he's got to do something that makes them better, that brings out the best in their games. You know, Steve Kerr, all he could do is shoot. Who does he pass it to hit a game-winning shot? Steve Kerr. You know what I mean? So I think that's the problem with LeBron. And as far as all the speculation about where he's going to go, I mean, holy – who knows? It's got to be what LeBron is looking for, and there could be different things that he's looking for.
I'd almost rather pay attention to Brett Favre and what he's doing than Jesus. LeBron.
Wow.
Did you hear the latest?
Yeah, I did hear the latest. Yeah.
Leave it to him to make it about himself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This college team's like, you know, trying to go to the College World Series. But, hey, if you guys make it, you know, I'll play this year. Like, they're going to do it for him. So to play another year.
It sounds like a movie plot like The Rookie, you know. And so after this, you know, he could go out there. They could go into the College World Series. That means he plays. They win a Super Bowl. And now there's a Disney movie about him. Wouldn't that be great? I tell you what, I'm not going to play unless these boys make it to the World Series.
Yeah.
That's my Brett Favre / Hank Hill impersonation.
What the hell are you boys doing?
Yeah.
Get your helmet on and go play for the Vikings.
I think what you said about LeBron, to just go backtrack a little bit, is right, because no matter who you put around him, he's still the best player out of the five. And if he's not doing anything to kind of get anything out of them, then you're right. It's just him and four other guys standing around. And that was – I hadn't really thought of it that way. I'm not even sure I care really where he goes, but – there's, you're right. Nobody seems to know exactly what he wants or what he's looking for, and it could be money. It could, you know, he might be a nice, you know, just a nice guy who's like, I want to stay in Cleveland, and that's why he wants to stay, because he likes it and he doesn't want to disappoint people. You know, I don't know what his psyche is.
One thing I will say too about playoff basketball, if we're gonna, it sounds like we're ready to jump off this LeBron thing anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think I've mentioned – have I mentioned the hard fouls? Did we talk about that before?
No, I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast.
I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast. I know I've tweeted about it a million times.
Yeah.
But Rajon Rondo is the smallest guy on the floor, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And in the very first game of game one of the Cleveland Celtics series, Shaquille O'Neal should have landed on him one time, or at least shoved him in the fifth row behind the basket if he came into the paint. There was no tone set ever in that series, and not even in the Magic series either, for him to not come in the middle of the lane. And you know, if we go back, you know, like we said before, to the Pistons and the Bulls, and Michael Jordan was punished every single time he went to the basket. Guys were pulling him down, tackling him, and even before that, when it was the Celtics and the Pistons, they did the same thing to Larry Bird, and you know. I'm not a proponent of that thug type of basketball. Believe me, I hate that style, and that's the furthest thing. But there are occasions, and especially in the playoffs, where you need to send a message. And you know, it just – and I think this is one of the things that – Trent, going back to what you were talking about with why the playoffs aren't interesting, maybe the NBA isn't interesting. A lot of that caused some drama, you know, because teams just didn't like each other. You know, and actually I kind of like the fact that Paul Pierce is talking shit about, you know – you know, sweeping the Magic. Maybe that'll finally get somebody pissed off.
Yeah.
You know, I'm waiting for somebody to get pissed. You know, everybody's just so nice to each other and, you know, everything. I mean, maybe that'll create some drama, you know, for the next game. Maybe next time Paul Pierce comes in the middle lane, Dwight Howard put him on his ass. You know, I mean, something has to be done. I mean, you know, I just wished he had a little bit of that kind of edge to some of these series, and that might be enough to kind of create some of the drama that we're looking for.
Yeah. This just in, Brett Favre will play in the NFL if the Orlando makes it to the NBA Finals. So he's starting to make a bunch of these, I think. So at least one's about to come true.
You boys like put the ball in the basket.
It's like putting all your money on red and black at the roulette table.
That's right. He's going for Orlando and the Lakers, I think. So one of those two has to make it to the finals. So with the NHL, I know Adam said last podcast that with Penn's Arnett, he's not watching. Adam, you still not watching?
Still not watching.
Still not watching. I've watched a little bit. Ryan, you watching a little bit?
A little bit. Certainly not as much as I was with the Pens in it.
No. I think
let me put this way. I've watched more of Montreal Philly than I have San Jose and Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, me too. And I've just kind of you know, we don't have to go in depth with it or anything. I was just curious because that's the one I've been kind of keeping an eye on too, because I've, you know, Halak played his ass off in the first two series against the Capitals and the Penguins, who are, you know, arguably two of the – well, they had two of the stars in the NHL. And, you know, it just seemed like to me at some point his wheels had to come off a little bit, and Philly really took it to him the first couple of games. And they've stabilized, and now the series is 2-1 because they won tonight. But, you know, to kind of go back to the NBA, when Philly was up 2-0 – I have a friend text me, Hulak who, and all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, you know, you've watched enough hockey to know that, you know, really two games is not that big a deal. So, you know, but.
We saw in hockey, you know, we saw just the Flyers come back from 3-0.
I know, but now that apparently makes them unbeatable. So, I guess.
You always think back, and I always think back to the, you know, the whole, what is it, the old saying that, you know, not really a series until, you know, a team loses.
The home team loses. Home. Yeah.
And, you know, well, in the other series, that was quickly San Jose having home ice and they lost their first two games. You know, but I, you know, Montreal did the same thing against the Capitals. They did the same thing against the Penguins. They get, you know, shell-shocked in game one. So that didn't surprise me. Game two was a little more of a surprise. I have to say, but I still wasn't like, okay, the series is over, because I just was witness to what Montreal did. So, and this seems about right now that it's 2-1. And if they win the next game, it won't surprise me at all.
No, not at all.
And they'll be 2-2 going back to Philly. So yeah, I could see Montreal playing another 7-game series, you know, third straight.
It'd certainly be rough on them, but, you know, I can see them doing it too. What else do we have?
Floyd Landis.
Oh, Floyd Landis. Floyd Landis, who comes out today. Oh, yeah, I doped. False alarm. You know, not false alarm. I guess it was a true alarm.
Yes.
That's kind of stick with the analogy. But I don't, and that's fine, whatever. But why spend all that money? I mean, did he think he was going to get away with it? I mean, I guess obviously he did. But these are the thoughts that crossed my mind. Was I hear this morning that Floyd Landis has come out and he's like, oh yeah, well I doped and I dope, you know, used performance enhancing drugs when I won the Tour de France and everything like that. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm not shocked. You know, I'm like, of course you did, you know, and it doesn't shock me, but I'm like, you know, he spent years. And I think at this point, I hadn't heard of Floyd Landis for at least a year. You know, if he just kept his mouth shut, whatever. But I don't get the admission.
Well, the thing that perplexes me about the admission is that, like, you get the impression with some of these basketball or football players or baseball players that, like, they go into a closet, they do it once, and, you know, that was it. And so there's some, like, deniability. Well, you know, whatever, one drug test. But, like, Floyd Landis was doping for years with people that, like, if you get caught, you would think, oh, man, somebody else is going to rat me out if I deny this. You know what I mean? Like, oh, wait a minute. You know, I was with him when he did it,
right,
or whatever. You know, but I guess – so that's what strikes me as strange. Like, I guess
– turns out that person was Floyd Landis because he's ratting people out.
Well, right. You know, and I guess if everybody's doing it, there's some implied notion that you would not tell. But if – I would say if you're going to do this and you don't want to get caught, that you would try to minimize your trail.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like doing it with like your buddies, it just seems like there would be a lot of evidence out there to prove that you did it. So you don't necessarily want to go out on that limb and say that you didn't. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't expect him to say the next day, oh, yeah, you got me, I'm busted. But to take it as far as he did, even though there was – could have been – you know, he doesn't know. There could have been all this evidence against him. You just would – look that much worse. So that's the thing that strikes me, is that, you know, apparently he did it for years with lots of people. So it's, the denial seems very strange, and the lengths of which he went to discredit or disprove that, it was just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he had a website, I think, dedicated to his innocence.
He wrote a
book. Did he really?
He wrote a book called Positively False. The real story on how I won the Tour de France.
Oh boy!
Chapter one, I doped up.
Yeah.
It came out in 2007.
Oh, ridiculous.
Man. You know, and
but he hasn't stopped eating since then either, though, right? Have you seen him today?
No.
Yeah, he's pretty chubby.
Yeah.
What'd you say? Hasn't been on a bicycle since then?
No, I said he hasn't stopped eating since then.
Oh, okay.
He's starting to he's eaten so much that his ears are starting to look normal to his face because he's so fat.
But you know, it's not so much that, you know, I could care less if he feels the urge to admit this or whatever. I think what bothers me is starting to, you know, I don't know, I guess pull a you know, Jose Canseco or whatever, and start, you know, yapping about other people. And
Lance Armstrong.
I mean, is there really a need? Yeah. I mean,
hell yeah. If you could be the Jose Canseco, you know, as strange as it sounds, I think that'd probably be a good spot. If you're the guy that brings everybody down, you get credit for that, because everybody goes, yeah, Jose Canseco was kind of a jerk, but boy, he really helped clean up the sport of baseball. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
I think that could be an enviable spot to be in.
Yeah, but to some degree, I think that, I mean, it would be like, you know.
But Jose at least had, didn't he have some proof on some guys and stuff?
Or is
it just him spouting out?
It was just his book.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought he had proof.
But wouldn't it be like similar to like any one of us going back to a high school or junior high teacher and saying, oh, yeah, you know what, I cheated on this social studies quiz. And by the way, Jenny, John, you know, Carol, whoever did too. You know, at this point, who cares? I mean, I guess if there's still people in the sport, you know, who are doing it or who did it, then people would care. But on some level, you know, after it's all said and done, it seems like he's kind of Jose Canseco-ish in that he just wants to remain in the forefront.
Sure, but I think if he can take down Lance Armstrong, then – I mean, like if he gets some French cyclist, you know, who cares? You're right. But if he takes down Lance Armstrong, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal. I would say I agree with that. But Lance, he just seems like, you know, untouchable, and he's denying denying it as vehemently as Floyd Landis did, and he's been denying it longer. But, you know, maybe – 20 years from now, he's like, oh, yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. Wouldn't surprise me if that is the case. But, you know, I think what happens is that the longer it goes, that nobody that he's, like, could have possibly, like, been around when he did this is coming up, stepping forward, the longer he thinks that they won't. Or the more confident he is that they won't. That's just to say, for example, if he was actually doping. And who knows? But, you know... maybe for a while he's wondering if anybody's going to rat him out, but now since nobody has, he's going to they won't now, and he just presses on even stronger and more confidently.
Here's another question, you know, and I guess this kind of goes back to us kind of being a little, I don't know, ambivalent about the whole thing. Do the average fan do? I mean, whether it be cycling, whether it be baseball anymore, whether it be football. I mean, we've got the rumors of the guy that was Tiger's, you know, or the guy that had treated Tiger, and that, you know, the HGH, and, you know, I mean, does the public at large, are they? I mean, are they? Are we caring about this anymore?
Depends on the name, man.
Yeah.
You take
yeah.
down Armstrong, you take down Woods. Yes. You take down some AAA baseball player? No. But no, I think it very much matters. Now, it won't be the stop the presses, you know, whatever. Life won't go on. But no, I think it is a big deal to the general public.
Yeah. I think at this point, Floyd Landis doing it is not a big deal. In fact, you know. But the fact that he's gone. You know, he's naming other people and possibly Lance Armstrong. That's the story, really, because Floyd Landis is like, hey, look at me, I doped. Okay, big, you know, who cares? Yeah. This just in, Brett Favre says that if Floyd Landis writes a book called Positively Positive, the real story about how I won the Tour de France, then he will play in the NFL.
I like this running joke. I'm on board.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else?
No, I don't think so.
No, Ryan, anything? Mm-hmm. Nope. Adam, you ready to talk baseball?
What's that?
I said, Adam, you ready to talk baseball?
No.
Okay.
It's like apparently a groundhog. He sees a shadow.
Yeah, two more weeks of baseball.
Then he'll be ready.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, no, just wake me up for the game 7 of the final game of the World Series.
Okay.
Or game 7 is the final game. But
yes, that I think that'll be played on Christmas Eve.
Maybe.
Maybe.
The next week, pitcher and catcher's report.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, I guess that will wrap it up for episode 202. We're going to go ahead and put that one in the books. Hooray!
Whee!
Ryan, tell everybody how they can get in contact
with us.
Social media? Yep.
Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/brothersin3z. Facebook, like us, really, really like us at facebook.com/brothersin3z. Email us at brothersin3z@yahoo.com. And of course, the webpage, brothersin3-z.com.
That's right. Can't be any easier than that. So, again, that'll wrap it up for episode 202. And for Brian and Adam, this is Trent saying, this just in, Brett Favre said that he will play in the NFL if the next one is on us.
More ways than one. They blew a series, they blew a playoffs, and I think they've blown opportunity to keep LeBron James.
Well, how'd they do that? I don't think the song's that detrimental. Oh, you can
what? Up.
The song. We are LeBron. We are the children, or whatever.
No, I think it is that detrimental. Oh, that was bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
Do we have no playoffs, basketball, or
not tonight?
Hockey.
Not tonight. Basketball's like, oh man, we played like 2 days in a row. We need a break.
Slow down.
Yeah, and hockey was on earlier. Caps finally won a game in that series.
You mean the Canadians?
Yeah, Canadians. I meant Habs. Habs, Caps.
Habs, Caps.
Habs.
Sorry, I think you just offended an entire country.
Yeah, probably.
They don't know. They're too drunk to know. They won a game in the playoffs.
Let's go turn over some cars, eh?
If you weren't done offending them, I think that should
wrap it up. That put me over the top.
Hey, good job there, Trent.
End of an era today.
Which era is that?
The non-cavity fillings in my mouth era.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wow, you made it a long time, too.
I know. Pretty proud of it. Not quite Ripken, but I'll take it. Still the worst part. It wasn't like the drilling or the filling or anything like that. It was the
the needle and the anesthesia. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that.
I hate the dentist. I hate the whole dentist experience.
Yeah.
I hate going for just teeth cleanings.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, you know what? The place we go, they're like really nice. Like I went to we went to a dentist in Maryland. The guy was just like, he was like a barbarian with a needle in his hand. I mean, he had no like tact or anything. He just would go in and just scrape the shit out of you. But these people here, they're like chatting to you and they're scratching and they're talking and they're like, this is going to hurt a little bit. You're not going to like this, but this is okay. I'll try to be quick. And, you know, just talking you through it. They were real nice. It made I'm telling you, it made a big difference in the experience.
Huh. Cause I mean, they take out that hook and that's, I mean, I hate that hook and they'll pull and like start scraping and I can't keep my feet, you know, on the chair. Yeah. I mean, they're pulling so hard. My feet just automatically come up because I'm trying to brace myself.
Making me hurt.
Oh, sorry I'm about sure. that.
I hate it. I hate it. I wish they could just knock me out. Like they, you know, when they clean like animals' teeth, just knock me out completely and go to work.
Hey, can I get a couple hits off that laughing gas while you do this?
Yes. God, I hate it.
Hey, what's up with that little plaza they're doing there? That shopping plaza that's sprouted up, like right outside
by our place.
Yeah,
I know. We kept being optimistic they were going to put a Chipotle in there somewhere, but alas, to know.
No.
Out there, there's past the Exxon and stuff. They've got that newer, I guess. It's a BFS.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they've got a coffee place in there. Now I can't remember the name.
Gloria Jeans.
Yes. And it's kind of like a Starbucksy type of place in there.
Yeah, is
like
it?
They have the cold coffees and the warm coffees and the ones with whipped cream and, you know, the lattes and the, you know, frappuccinos, and their menu is very extensive. I'd never seen or been in one of those before, or ever even really heard of it. I don't know if it's a chain or just a little.
No, it's a chain.
And is it?
Yep.
No, I've never had coffee from there. I've been in that BFS, FBFS Foods.
I think it's FCS.
BFS, yeah. I've been in there.
Either
but
FCS or BFD. I'm not sure.
What's Division 2 now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I've only been there like to get liquor.
It's not that's not a surprise.
Or gas.
Or both.
And there's a church there.
That's where I go after I get the liquor. Adam's too busy watching The Bachelorette.
I will be. You got it.
When does that start?
Really? When's that start?
Soon. Soon, Ali Fedotowsky.
Why are you so excited for this? I saw you had to actually put it up for public viewing.
Because I don't know, I just saw a commercial for it, and it was just so enticing.
Oh.
The part of the preview was drama. There's a police car. There was something. I cannot believe you do this. It was just one thing after the other. It was the best.
Did either of you watch the Miss USA pageant for the sole reason that Brooks's friend, who you've never met, was...
That wasn't enough to get me involved.
No, me neither. Adam?
I watched a little bit of it. I think we caught the end and saw the... Oh, what's the nature of the question?
Did you watch it because Brooks's friend...
We usually try to watch these and make bets on it.
Yeah, that's what I thought you did.
Yeah, but we this one slipped through the cracks.
Yeah.
So, but we did watch it then because we found out it was on because Brooks knew people. I just.
And now, would they find out that Miss USA was a stripper somewhere?
Yeah, she wasn't a stripper. She danced on a table somewhere against a pole or something.
And who hasn't?
Well,
yeah, really. Who's surprised by that?
You know, my things are, there's such this fake sense of, you know, these girls should be, I don't know, more, have the moral high ground. I mean, these are people who are entering beauty pageants and you're like, then rail on them for taking sexy pictures. Like, oh, well, that's too far. You know, it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Where's that line drawn again? You know, you're going to just ogle over our bodies and bikinis and, you know, watch us in dresses and stuff like that. But if we take a picture, oh my God, scandalous.
Well, some of those pictures, they have more clothes on than what they do in a bikini contest.
Yeah. That's why, you know, kind of goes to my point. You know, you're talking about what, 22, 23-year-old girls or something like that. You know, odds are, with all the cell phone cameras that are out there, that I would say 25 out of 50 have the, you know, video cam of them dancing against a pole somewhere.
I just wonder why these things ever happened to me. Like, why didn't I ever see things like this?
I don't know. It's like when I wake up in the morning, I catch like 25% of all these stories and they start to run together. I think that what she was doing was promoting her uncle's something or other, helping promote it, or maybe it was his bar.
I think she was going to Harvard. Got kicked out. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, maybe. I think Brett Favre says, if she dances on a pole, I'm going to return to the NFL.
All right. That you got to go out on that one.